You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
All right, 8 days to go until sanity returns to the airwaves. Not really. The airwaves have hardly ever been sane. But every 4 years, especially conservatives, Christians, pro-lifers seem to go crazy. Now, tomorrow and Wednesday, our plan, program note, our plan is that Will Duffy and I will take up our broadcast resource to talk about the election and talk about Romney and Obama. Many Christians have been tricked into believing that Romney is the lesser of two evils. And it seems clear, if you look at their records, that Obama is the lesser of these two evils, yet very evil. And Mitt Romney, Christians are told, and they seem to think through that, well, Romney wants to kill fewer people than Obama, fewer unborn children, fewer innocent people. Therefore, I will vote for, I'll support, I'll defend Mitt Romney. I'll actually campaign for Mitt Romney because he's going to kill fewer. What's interesting is if the devil came, and Ambassador Alan Keyes likes calling this the devil's game, because if Satan himself came to you and said, okay, how about this? Let's compromise. I will end all abortion in the world if you will just support me killing one innocent child. Just agree to support me in my campaign, and I will only kill one innocent child, and then together we'll end all abortion in the world. Would you join me in that? And, of course, doing so would give him the victory, because it's not a numbers game. It's an obedience game. It's honoring God. So, hey, do we have Rusty Thomas on the phone? There's something going on in Mississippi, big in Jackson, Mississippi, the States of Refuge event, beginning the day after the election. And what an honor to have on Bob and Yurt Live, Rusty Thomas. Rusty, welcome to the show. Hey, Rusty, you there? No, should I try it differently? Bob and Yurt, welcome to Rusty Thomas Live. Oh, all right. Well, we will try. We have our crack engineering team frantically trying to get Rusty. Now, Rusty Thomas, he is a Christian leader, pro-life leader, involved for many years with Operation Rescue National, Operation Save America. And we're just so honored to have friends that we have worked with for decades now. When you read the Bible and you read about these extraordinary prophets of God and apostles, men who laid their lives down for others and were willing to risk everything for obeying God and trusting God. And you read about these guys, and sometimes you think, oh man, only if I were alive back then during the Bible days, I could have known these people. I could have walked with them. I would have supported them. Even though most of the culture, even though most of the religious leaders were against them and condemned them, I would have been there. And so I feel like that when I hang out with who? Just name them. Ken and Joe Scott, Flip Benham, Rusty Thomas, Chuck Gallagher. So many of these extraordinary Christians. I think of Keith Mason at Personhood USA, Leslie Hanks at American Right to Life. And it just goes on. And I feel like I am living in the Bible days, and I am hanging out with these men and women of God who are heroes. And one of them is Rusty Thomas. Rusty, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Brother Bob, I can hear you now.
All right. Hey, it's great to have you on the program. What an honor, Rusty. It's been a while since I've seen you. I think, were you in Mississippi 2 years ago for the vote, or 1 year ago, actually? My wife, Cheryl, I was trying to figure out if she remembered seeing you there. She was there campaigning for the Personhood Amendment a year ago.
I was helping with the Personhood Amendment in Mississippi, so I might have been there with her.
Yeah, that's what she did recall. But at any rate, it's so great to talk to you, Rusty. So we want to talk about states of refuge, and especially the focus in a week from now on Jackson, Mississippi. So lay it on us. What's going to happen? And let's talk through it.
Well, brother, just to share how this vision and mission came about, it was a couple of years ago, brother, and you know Operation Save America. We're not an organization that wants to exchange strategy for God's truth. You know, as much as lies within us, we want to stand four square upon God's word and not apologize for it, because we're not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
But at the same token, brother, when you look at the Bible, there were times where God gave divine strategies to defeat evil or to win a victory against an enemy that was threatening.
Right.
And so I was praying along those lines. I said, God, you know, sometimes we feel like we're little ants out here trying to hold back a tidal wave of evil savaging our nation. So, God, we need some divine strategies from heaven to go about to defeat this evil. And so, you know, I was praying along those lines, and lo and behold, as I was doing some research, Brother Bob, what we found is we have five states with one death camp remaining defiling our land. And those five states are Arkansas, Mississippi, North and South Dakota, and Wyoming. And so when I saw that, brother, it was like the light bulb went on.
Wow. Yeah.
This represents the abortion industry and the Holocaust that it spawned at their weakest and most vulnerable point. And for us, the Church of the Living God, the greatest opportunity for victory, literally to begin a campaign that would liberate America from blood guiltiness one state at a time.
Mm.
And so what we did, brother, is we committed to the Lord our prayers, our manpower, our resources, and our efforts to focus our attention on these five states, that in the hopes soon, brother, we could present to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the first abortion-free states in America. And brother, obviously this is a dream worth dreaming, and it's a vision worth sacrificing for. And God be praised, brother, there's been so many different ministries, Christian pro-life ministries, that once they hear this vision, once they see it, they say yes and amen. And what's great, brother, is it's creating this wave after wave impact in these states. In other words, as one ministry goes in to confront the death camp and they leave out, lo and behold, here comes another ministry besieging that death camp. And we are praying soon and very soon, brother.
Well, Rusty, your States of Refuge tour, your States of Refuge project, the operation to try to make states havens for unborn children, it's just so very important. And it makes me think of in the scriptures where God speaks of the cities of refuge. And of course, you and I spoke preparing for today's show, that that's where you got this idea from, the states of refuge. But in one of the chapters where God talks about this, in Numbers 35, he commands the governing officials to do something very interesting, something very unexpected. He says, if someone is killed in your vicinity, in your jurisdiction or near your jurisdiction, let's say there's a murder somewhere between your city and a neighboring city, God says, measure the distance from your city to the slain body when it's not known who killed this person. And then measure the distance from another next closest city to the slain body. Figure out which city is closest. And you think, why would God care which city is closest to someone killed in the wilderness. And the Lord's reason is that he holds us accountable.
Yes, he does.
So that there is a corporate responsibility for a government to establish the kind of culture where innocent blood is not shed.
And the thing of it is, too, brother, as far as God's judgment is concerned, it's not just the sin and the crime of shedding of innocent blood.
No.
What angers God and brings about his wrath is unpunished shedding of innocent blood. And brother, when God established these cities of refuge, I mean, let's just think about this for a minute. What does it take to build a city? I mean, that is a huge undertaking.
Right.
And that requires great strategy, execution, planning, resources.
You need a water supply.
It's a great
effort. defensive. Right.
Exactly. So God says build six cities.
Six of them.
Six of them. Brother, how important is this stopping of shedding of innocent blood to Almighty God? If he puts his people to that great an effort to avoid blood guiltiness, how important is this to Almighty God? It seems pretty extreme to me.
What a great point, Rusty. And so what we see is God raising in the consciousness of his people the importance of not having an innocent person being killed. In the historical context, is if there's an accidental slaying. If someone, let's say they're chopping down wood, and the axe head flies off the axe, and it accidentally hits, let's say, your neighbor's daughter in the head, and what a tragedy, meganoito, as Paul would write, God forbid, and she were to be killed, then out of anger, he might want to come and kill you in revenge, and that would be unjust revenge. And so God says, don't let that happen. Let's do this. Let's build six cities spread out, obviously, across the land of Israel. And these are the cities of refuge so that this person will not be killed unjustly by this avenger of blood.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes they ran to the cities of refuge and they were guilty of sin. And what cities of refuge provided, brother, was the elders an opportunity to probe and to investigate.
To sort out, right? So that you'd have due process.
Due process. Was this done by accident or was this with malice and forethought?
Exactly, Rusty. And in fact, so much of our criminal justice system does come from the Bible. For example, God in the Ten Commandments even said, do not murder, do not steal, and do not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Perjury.
So that's perjury, right? And that speaks to due process. And so you're making a good point. This allows everybody to slow down a moment and make sure that innocent blood is not being shed.
And if it has been shed, to make proper atonement for it, brother.
Right.
So that guilt will not fall on the... It's very interesting when it comes to the shedding of innocent blood. You remember, Brother Bob, when they were threatening to kill Jeremiah as a traitor, you know, for prophesying God's judgment upon Israel. And he makes an incredible statement where he says, listen, if you do this, not only were those who put their hand to kill me be guilty of shedding of innocent blood, he said the entire city and all the inhabitants of the land will be guilty of my blood.
Wow.
So, now, brother, there's a part of us that says, all right, I understand the concept. You know, if somebody puts his hand to murder an innocent person, he should be held accountable. He should be punished to the full extent of the law. But where we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we do not understand that God does not stop there. He doesn't just stop.
He doesn't stop there
party.
Because his second greatest command is to love your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, you can't be apathetic and tolerate a culture where the innocent are killed. And then even worse, Rusty, We have Christians and even Christian leaders who are defending those who kill the innocent, saying, look, this is the best we can hope for. We got to support those who will kill these innocent children, because otherwise, what would become of us? That's how corrupt we have become as a society. And so we could see God's wisdom is exactly right. When the governing officials tolerate the killing of the innocent, eventually then the society at large will tolerate it, and eventually then the religious leaders will tolerate it.
Well, and that is exactly what happened. And you know what, brother? This sin and this crime is so horrific to Almighty God that it says in Jeremiah that he never commanded this. He never spoke this. Now, right. This is what gets me, because we're talking about the all-knowing, omniscient God.
The Almighty God, he said, it never entered my mind that you would kill your children.
In other words, it's not that he doesn't know about it. He's not educated about it.
Of course, brother, he knows about it, but to think that his creation would become so depraved as to kill their own children. Rusty, when God says to measure the distance to the nearest village and to see who he's going to hold accountable, I don't know if you've ever gone rafting, whitewater rafting in Colorado or elsewhere, but the tour guides, they're very politically correct, and they tell you about pollution, and they say the thing about pollution, it comes down to dilution. He said, whatever's in the water, it depends on how much it's diluted. If it's diluted significantly enough, there's no pollution.
Right.
Because there's everything everywhere, and we all breathe it in and drink it all day long. But with blood and God, it's a different matter. Because you might get something on your hand that's dirty and you wash it off. But when it's innocent blood being shed, when God looks at the murderer, he sees the blood on the murderer's hands. And then he looks at the governing officials, and he sees the blood on their hands if they don't punish the murderer, and then the culture, and then the church. He sees it everywhere, and we try to wash it off, but it doesn't come off. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ does it come off.
And what we must understand, and this particularly applies to the state, civil authorities, the very purpose, the very reason why God established civil government was to protect life and to stop the shedding of innocent blood. Mm. And the purpose...
You're right, Rusty.
And that is Genesis 9:6.
Amen.
So in other words, the whole purpose...
Preach it, brother. I'm so excited. I got somebody speaking sanity on the show. Thank you, Rusty.
Well, but here's the thing, and we got to get God's heart on this matter. And remember, it says before the flood, the thoughts of men were continually evil, and violence covered the earth.
Right.
Brother, it broke God's heart. It grieved his heart that he even created us.
Right, exactly.
And so we know, Noah, the ark, and the flood, and all that kind of stuff. But brother, after that ark lands, the first thing that God commands Noah, if man sheds blood by man, civil government, his blood shall be shed.
Right off the bat, Noah comes out of the ark. He disembarks, and God says, okay, from here on out, you must execute any man who murders another person. Execute them.
Yeah.
And the reason is, God gives the reason. He says, for in the image of God, he made man. So
exactly, brother.
So when you kill a child, you are profaning God Almighty. And you're destroying the very fabric of society that would have a moral civilization. You're destroying it, and eventually, left unpunished, that will destroy the whole country.
Do you know, Brother Bob, one of the reasons how God got my attention, how he opened my eyes and he broke my heart? I always knew that abortion was wrong. I always knew abortion was a sin. And I was even a righteous pastor, brother. I didn't shy away from the burning issues of the
right.
day. You know, I preached against it. But, brother, I didn't get involved or act upon the premise, if abortion is murder, why don't you act like someone's truly dying? Brother, that moral cord wasn't struck until I read in the scripture how this particular sin affects God, how it impacts God. And he says, brother, I believe it's in Leviticus, that, man, if you give your seed to Moloch and shed innocent blood and the state and the church does nothing to stop it, brother, he said, my holy name is profaned and my sanctuary is polluted.
Wow.
Father, who's the sanctuary of the Lord?
The body
Every
of Christ.
Every born-again child of God knows who is the sanctuary of the Lord.
Right.
Brother, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the sanctuary of God. But God says, if you live in a nation that butchers babies and sheds innocent blood, and you turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to their cry, you give your seed to Moloch, he says, you're profaning my holy name. Mm-hmm. The very name, brother, that dug us out of a pit. Brother, put our feet upon a rock and gave a new song to sing. Brother, that name becomes profaned. We see the hostility in this nation towards Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus.
Right.
You can talk about any God you want, but you better not mention that name. Why? Because it's become profane in the United States of America. Why? Because we have shed innocent blood, and exactly what God said would happen is happening.
Is
brother.
Happening. Now, Rusty Thomas, thank you for bringing us back to Genesis chapter 9, because God expresses it so explicitly. In fact, that is the foundation of civil government. As you stated, the responsibility to punish those who would kill the innocent. And at American Right to Life's website, there is an article on the death penalty and abortion. It's fascinating. In fact, I'll tell the audience, it's AmericanRTL.org/death penalty. Just type that out. And what it shows, Rusty, is that it has these verses that you're referring to. And I think you just referred to one out of Ezekiel, where God says, do not profane me by killing those who should not die and keeping those alive who should not live.
Wow.
So if you have a murderer, and you say, you know what, I'm more merciful than God. God says put him to death, but I say, I'm Pat Robertson, you know, I say let him live. Then God says you're profaning me. You're making believe that my voice is just a typical opinion, and you're ignoring me. And so at that article, it shows that the countries around the world, as they banned the death penalty, they prohibited the death penalty, usually within a few years, they then decriminalized abortion. So first they said no death penalty, and then they said we're going to kill unborn children. And that's a pattern around the world.
And you know what one of the problems is with that, Bob? Is the death penalty does not go away. It just shifts from the guilty party to society.
Wow.
The state may fail in their responsibility, and the church may fail in their responsibility to speak for those that can't speak for themselves.
But God's
here is
word,
the underlying truth.
Right.
God cannot deny himself.
Right, so God's word remains forever. So when we speak as though we break God's law, in reality, God's law stands and we are broken.
Exactly. So that's exactly what's happening. The death penalty hasn't gone away for murder.
Right.
Brother, look around us.
Right. We just...
Man, there's carnage. There's massacres all over the place.
Right.
Bloodshed touches bloodshed. It breaks out.
Yes.
You're going to sow violence in the womb, brother. You are going to reap violence in your street, your workplaces, churches, and government buildings. And
Rusty Thomas, States of Refuge in Jackson, Mississippi. This begins the day after the election.
Yes, sir. And we're very excited about it, Bob. We got folks coming from all over the nation. We're having a favor with the local people there, the churches and the pro-life movement.
Will Coach Dave Dobemeyer be there? Do you know?
Yes, he will. Coach is going to be there.
Well, I'm thinking of my favorite, you know, all-time heroes like Chet Gallagher. Will Chet be there?
Chet is our state leader. in Mississippi.
So great. And Cal Zastro, how about Cal?
Revival Cal is coming down with his entire family.
Man, I want to be there.
So, well, we're going to have a cast of characters, bro. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be like living in the Bible days. These are the Bible days.
Absolutely,
so,
brother.
Rusty Thomas, I've been at the abortion mill in Jackson, Mississippi, the last remaining abortion clinic in the state. In fact, we've produced a documentary series called Focus on the Strategy. Mm. And the third one, Focus 3, has footage from the abortion clinic right there, the abortion mill where they kill innocent children. Will that actual intersection there, that corner, will that be the focus of your events?
Well, brother, that will be a major focus, but we're also bringing the message, brother, to the highways and byways.
Yeah.
We're going to the Amen. Universities. We're going to the high schools. We're taking it to the streets.
Amen.
Even to the political realm, brother, we're going to bring the message. And, you know, at the same time, not only are we going to curse the darkness, we're going to light a candle, brother, and bring hopefully an inspirational message to Mississippi. You know how everybody criticizes Mississippi? You know, they're always on the low end of the 50 states.
Poor Mississippi. Yeah.
Yeah, the 50 states, you know what?
Right.
But you know, they may be low on the economy and education and all that kind of stuff, but they could be the highest state when it comes to righteousness, brother.
Well, they could be the first
abortion-free state in America.
Hey, Rusty, and let me tell you something that less than 1 out of 1,000 pro-lifers know. Decriminalized child killing began in Mississippi.
It did.
Not in Colorado in 1967, but in 1966, Mississippi said you could kill the children of criminal rapists.
Yeah, the exception clauses.
Yep, they did it in 1966. And by the way, that law is on American Right to Life's website.
Wouldn't it be just like God, brother? The place where it started is the place it begins to end.
Wouldn't it
be just like our Lord?
What started there ends there. I pray that God gives you that blessing, Rusty. Thank you, Rusty Thomas.
All right, love you, Brother Bob. Keep up the good fight, man.
All right, get the information at Operation Save America, Operation Rescue's website. God bless you guys.
You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.